is Rob Stone from Fox Sports.
Hey guys, this is Cole Liker.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
You are listening to the Unused Substitute.
The Unused Substitute.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the pitch!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood!
Ball's going to bounce. Dennis free in the box. Bicycle kick! Goal! Rowdies! What a play! What a shot! And it's 1-0 Rowdies!
Good evening, everybody. It's Wednesday night, about 10:15. We're actually doing this now for the second time. We were actually recording before, but we apparently weren't broadcasting. So we're going to take this from the top and start again. You are listening to the Unused Substitutes live on Radio St. Pete, live from the Shamrock Pub in Sarasota, Florida, part of the Beautiful Game Network and sponsored by Roughneck Scarves and Golden Goal Press. My name is Matt, and sitting next to me, according to Google, I'm sticking with this one, is the Anonymous Ferret, Mr. Stephen Cunda. Stephen, how you feeling?
I am feeling fantastic. We just won a game on the road on a garbage field. I don't even know when the last time we did that. I mean, this is an amazing night when we're looking at the fact that this is a 1-0 victory against a playoff-caliber team on the road. I am more than thrilled about what happened. And the pub is loving it. We're down here live at Shamrock. We just watched this game in front of a great group. I mean, this has been fun. We've got people that went to Nashville. I mean,
right.
This is everything we want.
We've got the Skyway Casuals here banging on the bar, singing along, having a good time. Shout out to those guys. All right, so we are going to talk a little bit about tonight's game because that's kind of the main point. Stephen, the Rowdies just won 1-0 in Nashville. To go level on points with New York Red Bulls 2 in first place, but the first tiebreaker is total wins, and we're 1 win back, so sitting in second. What's your good, what's your bad, and what's your ugly?
Yes, we officially are now like having a tied for first, officially second position. It's worth pointing out that we're going to get into the standings when it comes to points per game, but yes, so I mean, we are definitely in a good spot right now. Good, bad, ugly. I am taking... For my good, I'm going to look at our defensive shape. I mean, here we are. We play a kind of a risky three-back scenario, and we do a fantastic job with that three-back. This team, these three guys that hang back there and hold this defense firm, unbelievable job that they're doing right now.
And should point out, this is where the one change in the lineup from tonight from last week was Tarek Morad coming in for the
mm-hmm.
start.
Yep.
Sean Berry on the bench, who later appeared and then disappeared. We'll find out hopefully later on from Neil Collins or the team what his status is. I did see him sitting on the bench near the end of the game. He didn't go back to the locker room immediately, so probably pretty good, we hope.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately it's nerve-wracking whenever you have to substitute out a substitute after 17 minutes, but... You know, I mean, hopefully we wish him the best. Hopefully it's nothing that serious.
We're just jealous, right, because we're unused substitutes and we got substitutes getting substituted. These are overused substitutes at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little out of shape. I mean, I only do the Sunday thing, so, you know, we'll see.
All right, so back to your good, bad, ugly.
Yes, let's see here. Bad, I'm going to, I mean, honestly, that kind of led into what I was going to do for bad, which was the Berry injury. I mean, hopefully it's nothing serious. I'm not panicking yet because, like I said, he was able to come off. He played about 17 minutes total. Hopefully it's nothing crazy. Ugly, I'm going to do a joke for this one. Pickens.
Okay.
Pickens' beard.
Yeah, where did the beard
what
go?
What is this? It's ugly. It's terrible.
We were speculating, like, maybe he didn't want to get the barbecue stuck in it. Maybe it's a little too humid in Nashville.
It's too pretty. That was the good thing about him when he lived down here, is that he was, like, fully ready to go for the Everglades, and he was going to go hunt some swamp kitties. And it's really sad that he's done.
That is not the beard of a guy that makes his own jerky.
Right? This is a fake Matt Pitkins. I'm very disappointed at that. That's my ugly today.
I'm not kidding. When I saw the warm-ups and, you know, there was like a side shot of him, I said, oh, I guess Pitkins isn't starting tonight because that's not Matt Pitkins' beard.
It's not Bushman Pitkins.
Grow it back, Matt. Grow it back. All right. Man of the match.
I'm
going to pull up Thought Mob real quick. You tell me who you've got, and then I'm going to give you the scores, and we'll see.
Oh, so you're going to compare my personal opinion to the fantasy number that Thought Mob puts out?
I think so. We'll do a little overrated, underrated. Geez. Who should be higher? Who maybe did a better job? Who maybe didn't do as well as they're posting?
Well, then I'll say this, because I had a 9 point, and it was funny because I mentioned this to you at halftime who I thought the player that struggled the most in the first half was, and then funny enough, he ended up becoming the first substitute.
The first one subbed off.
It was hilarious because you and me both looked at each other and was like, I called it. Poor David Najem had not the greatest of nights tonight. Funny enough, if you actually look at it, Murad had an average position higher than he did back up in the field. So it was interesting. Najem definitely had struggled offensively supporting what we were trying to do tonight. Pretty much most of the game in the first half, especially if we look at the heat maps and the touch maps, it was played on the left side of the field. Like, we pretty much avoided the right hand of the field tonight. And so hopefully Najem, obviously he missed last year, but hopefully that was just a random moment for him. Do you want to throw in a...
Well, since you mentioned it, Najem finishes up with a score of 6.2 from Thought Mob, just ahead of Jordan Doherty with 6.1, Sean Barry with 6.1, and Muhammad Kone at 6.0.
I'm assuming Poku's like unrated because he only had like 7 minutes plus stoppage.
Let's see.
And he only touched the ball like I think 4 times.
Yeah, there's no number put in there. That's something else we got to mention. Poku making the Poku debut.
What an odd decision! Like it was funny because if you were listening to last week live or the podcast recording, I had argued that Poku should have gone in last week. Because, you know, the liability of him...
Up a man on the road.
Yeah, you're up a
Indy,
man.
Yeah.
You got nothing to lose. You know, you're not going to get caught in transition. It was bizarre to me that you would put him into a game where you were winning on the road and at times struggling. I mean, that's a playoff-caliber team in Nashville.
Right, right.
And yet, this was the game that we got to see him. I was flabbergasted that we would have taken a player like Tanari out, who was having a great night by all means. I mean, you got to remember... That stretch that we had about 10 minutes leading up to the goal was nothing but Tejada and Sebastian just absolutely pressuring the heck out of the defense. And then the brilliant back heel, that little bit of creativity, that little bit of flair that caused the unnerving of that Nashville defense that caused the foul. Because you had players coming in and out. There was 3 players over there in that position. Tanari was one of them. It was fascinating to see that give and go in the back heel. And that's what drew the foul. And then, of course, it's such a scripted set piece.
Yeah.
You know, and I love it. I absolutely love it.
Everybody here
fact.
In the bar, because I thought it by watching when I was watching it, and a couple of people said the same thing, thought that the first ball in had just been...
Overhit.
Overshot. Like,
yeah.
it was going so far
absolutely.
Past the
yeah.
far post.
You see that ball, and you're like, okay, I'm going to take another drink.
And then all of a sudden, I don't think we've ever gotten confirmation on this, Leo Fernandez does what Leo Fernandez has done so often this year, pop up and create a chance and earn an assist by sending it back across the box for Juan Tejada to knock in his second goal of the season.
There's the poacher, Tejada. I love it.
So is he your man of the match?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to do it.
You're going
to?
Okay.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to give it to him. He had about 3 or 4 moments of really, really good pressure that kept kept Nashville off-centered as far as the stability that they were expecting to have in the back. And, you know, he's goal scorer, and I'll give it to him.
According to Thought Mob, Juan Tejada was our 5th best player tonight.
I don't understand that.
Well, man of the match honors went to Sebastian Guinzotti.
Which is fine.
With a 7.7 score. followed behind by Pop Diakite with a 7.4.
Which I already gave them props, so that's fine.
John McCarthy, 7.2.
The knuckleball shot.
He had to do some work tonight.
The knuckleball shot was a great save. I'm glad he was able to read that and that we didn't give up anything silly there. By the way, the defense needed to do a... They did not do a good job of closing that down. But good on McCarthy.
Domodoro with a 7.0.
Which makes sense, too, because he played great.
Then you've got Caleb Richards, who you kind of singled out with the
chance early on.
He let the guy get him with a 6.9.
Yep.
A very nice... Nice score, I guess you would call it.
Art, yeah.
Tejada, 6.8. Tenari, 6.8. Murad was 6.9 also. Fernandez, 6.6. And then the guys who came off, we mentioned the subs already. So anybody stand out to you as overrated or underrated?
See, you're hiding the cell phone. It's way over there, and now you bumped it. Okay.
That's all right. I got it back.
Well, let's see here. Compared to it, because I have to... Surprise, surprise, I wasn't able to memorize the rattling of numbers that you just threw out there.
I think I'm okay with everything on there.
I'm kind of surprised that Doherty was rated so low. They gave him a 6-1, and I thought he actually did pretty good tonight. I didn't see anything glaringly wrong that he did. He did more defensively than offensively. But he played on the active side of the field. I didn't really see any issues. At least, I mean, again, obviously, we're talking about this in the moments, the seconds the game's ended. So,
exactly.
I mean, it is what it is. But
we're obviously biased and riding the adrenaline high.
We haven't watched the game yet, like, four times to analyze every touch. But I didn't think anything. The Doherty rating was a bit surprising. I don't think anybody's overrated, per se, but...
Okay.
I think Doherty was underrated. That'd be my...
So like you mentioned, we've maintained the good, bad, ugly from the origins of the show. We are going to introduce one new thing that we've talked about, but I am going to throw something out there. I don't know how closely you've looked at the show notes already tonight or during the day. Something I'm going to call equal time based off of, you know, we were here last week for the indie game, did our kind of instant reaction. And then I think it was next day the Rowdies do like their three things article. So I'm going to put out their kind of, I'm going to call this their rebuttal. I'm going to give them some equal time, the stuff they wrote about last week's game. I'm just kind of summarizing here some things to keep in mind. Third match in 8 days for the indie game, so a little bit of fixture congestion. Training had been impacted by weather, and they had flown home to Tampa Bay before going back out to Indy. Starters had the day off for some recovery. The bench players and the guys who didn't make the bench had practice, but it was cut short due to weather. Playing on turf with American football lines, which is something that, you know, affected us just watching the game. So I can buy that. And we mentioned this here, looking at the maps after the game. You know, Indy didn't really park the bus as much as other teams have against the Rowdies, or especially a 9-man team would do. They really clogged the midfield, and that's where they disrupted the game. And also, if you compare the average age of the lineups, the Rowdies with their youngest ever modern era lineup, checking in at 24.0 years, Indy with 28.4. And that's their factors into why maybe a 0-0 draw was not so bad after all.
Yeah, I mean, we said our piece last week as far as, I don't necessarily agree with some of those items, but it is what it is.
So that's it for we've talked about tonight. We've did a little bit of equal time for last week. We get to go to Al Lang twice next week, Stephen.
I know.
We haven't been to Al Lang in like weeks.
The cathedral has sat empty. We must fill it.
I know. So next Tuesday, home versus it turns out to be the Villages SC, knocking off Lakeland Tropics last night in Open Cup action. It went to penalties. I just noticed looking in FOTMob that I have Open Cup added to the league, so I've got all tonight's scores too, so we can run through those in a minute.
That's cool.
But I want to run through real quick the Eastern Conference games from last week. So like last Wednesday, as we mentioned, we played Indy to a 0-0 draw. Red Bull 5-0 over Birmingham. Loudoun United and Bethlehem Steel 3-3 draw. And Memphis and Birmingham, 2-2 draw last Saturday. Hartford and Charlotte, the 1-1 draw. Steven, Hartford has a point.
It's still the Barracuda to me.
Yeah.
I don't see I don't see them even coming close to shaking that all year.
Do you think they can beat the Cosmos in the next round of the Open? Oh, excuse me, Cosmos B, because as we all know, the New York Cosmos do not play
in
anything but the second division.
Absolutely.
Indy, North Carolina, 0-0 draw. Charleston and Pittsburgh, 2-2 draw. These are all last Saturday. Nashville knocked off Atlanta 2-0. And then on Monday, Swope Park, woke up. Swope Park from the depth of the Eastern Conference table and knocked off Louisville 3-2. They led 2-0 at one point. Louisville came back and leveled the game in the second half, and then Swope Park got the winning goal shortly before the end of the game. This morning, in true USL fashion, a 10:30 a.m. game in Canada, Ottawa and New York Red Bull, top of the table, tied 1-1, which is what has allowed the Rowdies to move into a, at least on paper, on points draw with them. So the next new thing we're going to introduce, we talked about this last week and then afterwards said, why don't we actually like do this?
Yeah.
We're going to give you guys the table arranged by points per game. Who's earning the most points per game? There's not too many differences at the top of the table, not too many at the bottom, but right around that 10th place is where you get some teams hopping positions.
This is true.
So we've got this. Oh, I don't have this. Well, we can kind of have it updated for tonight. If you go by points per game, the Red Bulls are on top. 9 games played, 20 points earned, an average of 2.2 repeating. St. Louis, 8 games, 17 points, 2.125. The Rowdies are now 10 games, 20 points for an even 2 points per game. North Carolina and Charleston both have eight games played, 15 points for a 1.875 each. Nashville and Indy, 14 points from those same 8 games, 1.75. Ottawa, 11 points, which would put them really kind of out of the playoff positions at this point, and this includes today's result. But having only played 7 games, they have a point per game average of 1.57, putting them ahead of 13-point Louisville City, every other 11-point team. Birmingham, Pittsburgh, Bethlehem, Atlanta United with 10 points, and we're way out of the playoff positions at that point.
That. Yeah.
So really the biggest benefactor right here looking at this is Ottawa with 11 points out of 7 games. Normally, I don't think they'd even be in the playoff positions at this point, but in this table they are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8th place right now.
Yeah, and you know, we're trying to look at this from the context of the fact that, like, you know, it sounds great that we're up at the top of the table tied with the points on with New York. But the fact is that, you know, we've also played 10 games this year. Nobody, like, basically really.
Yeah, Memphis is the
else.
Only other team that's played 10. So we, us
yeah,
and Memphis.
So it's, we want to make sure that we're being reasonable on the expectations and where we really are. I mean, we honestly, if we had lost this game tonight on points per game basis, we would be ranked 8th on points per game. Like, that's how, like. For me, when I was going into this, I was nervous, very, very, very nervous. Because again, what did I say last week? We're walking a tightrope right now with all the draws that we've had, where it could really fall apart in a hurry if things go bad. And so here we are, a full game is played, and suddenly we're points per game. We're right back to where we were before. We're 3rd in points per game, and that's where we started the night. That's where we've ended the night, and I will take it.
Yeah, I'll take a 2-point return on game average. Like that's nice.
And this is the big thing about that is the fact that we ran off the scores earlier. If you didn't catch it, there were a lot of draws this last weekend.
Yeah.
We had a ton of help with the league over the weekend, and so that was something that kind of impacted what we were looking at doing with the points per game standings, and what we were hoping would make a very interesting and compelling thing, and the league ended up basically saying, no, we're not going to make this interesting, and
there was a little bit of a correction course, but if you look, it's not as interesting as it relates to us, but if you look at the playoff positions, there's teams that you might think right now are not playoff contenders, but could, based on their form, sneak in there by the end of the season.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll see, like I said, we'll see how this plays out. I mean, there are definitely teams that aren't doing very well. And it's funny because when we look ahead at the schedule this upcoming week, not a lot of the top, like, 12 teams play each other.
Right, it's a lot of top versus bottom in the table.
So this is a key victory because when it comes to trying to maintain our position towards the top, we needed a win. Because if, like, we had lost tonight and then those teams had won, we would have been dropping in the rankings pretty quickly, especially on points per game basis because we've played so many.
Right.
Like, that was what I was nervous about. And so here we are. We got a victory. that's what we needed, because a lot of these teams are going to start catching up again because a lot of them are playing garbage teams. I mean, realistically, when we look at this, there's only two games being played from somebody in the top 12. And that's going to be Charleston Battery and St. Louis play on Saturday, and then Ottawa and North Carolina play on Sunday. So, you know, it's, you know, when you look at it that way, it's, you're not going to get a lot of help. A lot of teams are playing bad teams, and we needed the win. We needed the points. I mean, it's kind of one of those things where we're starting to look track the week by week, and it mattered, and we got a result. And that's something to be really excited and proud about. We had a couple of guys travel, you know, we mentioned again, we had a couple of guys travel to Nashville to watch this game. Thank you to those gentlemen. We love them. We love you. We might mention that later.
Hold on. So I'm looking at something else. Right? We're setting up what we're going to talk about next, and there's something.
Oh, yeah, no, this leads right into what we were looking at next, is the fact that, I mean, that's kind of your league update right now.
Yeah, we don't have a game to preview for next week, because we'll be back on next Wednesday. We're just really I'm going to be honest, I haven't watched a lot of film on the Villages, mostly because from what I've read the newspaper, watching any videos about things that go on in the Villages could be very detrimental to my eyes.
From somebody who has to deal with a lot of people every day from the Villages because of my line of work, I'm surprised anybody writes about that team and they don't fall asleep in the process. Actually, you know, in all fairness, there's actually a writer for a local paper up there,
right?
Who actually does a really good job. And
I mean, we're cracking a lot of jokes at their expense, but looking forward to playing them next week.
I am, and remember, this is the team that had the history of the Ocala Stampede when that team rebranded and moved,
right?
So, and this is, so now we get to talk about Open Cup, okay? Because this is now our Open Cup preview. We've got a bunch of scores that we're following from the games that are playing right now. We're going to go through all of this.
That's last night, and they have them winning. They did not play two games. That can't be right.
Oh, he's pointing out that Tormenta is confusing him.
I think Tormenta, a little research in
I
here.
I think Tormenta B.
Is there a Tormenta B?
I think there's a Tormenta Bravo. I think that's the team that played tonight, I think.
Interesting. Okay. So we want to run through real quick the Open Cup scores.
Yes.
And then kind of we'll talk about who we're going to play and look at some other interesting results last night and tonight. Some games still ongoing.
Yep.
The one that affects us the most, Villages knocked off Lakeland Tropics 1-1 in penalties.
In a thrilling, thrilling 10-round penalty shootout. That was insane.
I saw tweets pop up about it being like 6-6 in penalties, and I didn't see much more after that. So
yeah, that was a pretty lengthy PK shootout.
I gotta go
shootout.
And watch it. I love long PK shootouts. Red Bulls U23, 4-4 win on penalties over FC Motown. Richmond Kicker 6-2 over Virginia United. Christos, I guess this must be the Christos FC, the story. The Cinderella from a couple years ago.
Yeah, I believe it is.
Went out on penalties in the first round to Westchester United. Tormenta 3-0 over Chattanooga Red Wolves. As a Chattanooga FC co-owner, I'm going to be very happy about that score myself. Next one I'm also very happy about, Bavarian SC loses 2-0 to Forward Madison. Our friends the Flamingos.
Your friends the Flamingos.
Look, Flamingos are everybody's friend.
I'm just saying, I can't jump on that bandwagon.
I'm going to go watch them play in Orlando in the summer. That's the thing. They play Orlando B. Like, I have to cheer for them.
Okay.
Because reasons.
Go cheer for the Pink Birds.
Yay. Laredo Heat 1-0. Brazos Valley. Academia FC lost 2-1 to El Farolito. Cal FC won 5-1, and they're going to play Las Vegas Lights. Winalda used to coach. Remember Cal FC made that run a couple years ago?
Yep.
Got a little narrative here. Yep. Orange County FC knocked off FC Golden State Force, and I believe are going to play. You're going to have Orange County FC playing Orange County SC in the next round.
Because that's not confusing at all. Nobody would ever get
like
that
I tweeted.
Messed up.
By the way, I know you'll enjoy this. Leon's up 1-0 on Tijuana in the 35th minute.
Yes, I was about to mention it.
Dayton Dutch Lions in tonight's action 2-1 over Erie Commodores. You know, the Dayton Dutch Lions coach may be making his putting himself in the shop window. He hears FC Cincinnati is in need of a head coach all of a sudden. Then there's a score here for Greenville Triumph over, it says Tormenta, but we're thinking that's a reserve team possibly.
That's Tormenta B, if I remember correctly.
But the B teams aren't allowed to play in the Open Cup if they're completely owned.
If they're amateur, yes. That's why New York Red Bulls U23 can do it, because it's a completely amateur outfit. So that's how they can get away with it.
The one we were having a lot of fun with, Miami FC crashed out in the first round to the Florida Soccer Soldiers, who it turns out are not a group of villains from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Reading United, one of John McCarthy's old clubs, 2-1 over Philadelphia Lone Star. Cosmos B, because the New York Cosmos do not play anywhere but the second division, 2-1 over Black Rock FC. Little Rock Rangers are in extra time right now, 2-2 against the North Texas Rayados. In the 105th minute, Des Moines Menace and Duluth FC are tied at 1 in the 90th. The Midland Odessa Sockers lost 2-1 to, I guess it's just FC Denver. And Lansing Ignite FC currently leading AFC Ann Arbor 1-0 at halftime.
In a game that, if you don't know, and of course, again, if you're a Open Cup, like, I don't want to say nerd, but if you followed Open Cup, apparently the Lansing Ann Arbor game, from what I'm following on Twitter, had a last minute venue change. And, like, literally had to relocate to, like, a different field. I haven't even followed the details completely yet. But, like, I mean, they got started. They're only, like, the 45th minute or something like that right now. And it's because, like, they got started, like, really, really late because of a weird scheduling gaffe of some kind. Like, it's really bizarre. But it's peak Open Cup. Like, that's what the Open Cup's really all about. Hey! And we're just shouting out that Rob Stone was following along with the game tonight because he threw up on something on Twitter, so...
Are you aware of the long running Detroit City FC joke about Lansing, back when they were Lansing United?
It's been a while.
That Lansing blew a 3-1 or a 3-0 lead to Detroit City. So it's always, anytime something comes up, it's always Lansing blew a 3-0 lead. Apparently the game was scheduled to start at 3 p.m. Lansing blew it.
Ouch.
I like that. So, we know we've got the Villages SC next. With Miami FC going out, that was a team we thought we might get. Florida Soccer Soldiers are going to, I think we saw, do we have, remember seeing who they were supposed to go play?
This is the only sad part is that I did not write or bring any notes
for
the full lineup of that stuff. I could look it up right
now.
So
we'll know tomorrow, I believe, the potentials. The third round game, because this is the end of the second round tonight. So we'll know the potentials for third round if we win. Or no, this is the end of the first round. Second round's next week. And then the second round winners play each other in the third round before MLS comes in. So we'll get those potentials tomorrow, I think. And Soccer Soldiers were going somewhere else. So there's a chance, I think, that it could be shaping up that we may be lining up to play Tormenta if we knock off...
Yeah, I like the theory. I mean, I just from memory, because like I said, I'm still having to pull up real quick. But yeah, I think that based on what I'm seeing shape out, I think that's a real possibility, is that we might see Tormenta, which would be fascinating... Because, of course, all the drama that we've had involving Morel going there, having a good game against us in preseason, and then...
A tiny bit of narrative. But there seems to be a good relationship between the two clubs. I know they've been here. Neil Collins and the things from the staff have been up there before the preseason trip. So it'll be fun to see. I don't know where that one will be hosted, but we'll find out. We'll be at the game next Tuesday, and then we'll do our regular show Wednesday night. Talking about the result, and then if we win, who we are going to face in the next round, and then we'll do a little preview of next week's game. But I wanted to bring this up because back when Dan was on the show, we had this conversation, and we were kind of a similar mindset, and I think you're slightly different.
Okay.
As far as...
I'm intrigued. I don't know what you're leading into, so I'm fascinated by this right now.
How important is the Open Cup to you?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to interrupt that thought for just a second because we got the Lyon game up on TV. I had to make a shout-out for that. Yes. Okay.
Nice job, Shamrock.
Thank you so much, Shamrock. I love you guys so much. That literally just came on as soon as we started that segment, so I apologize for wrecking the continuity of the show there. But
I mean, have you listened to any of the last 200 episodes?
This is true.
The only thing that we're that our continuity is wrecking our continuity.
This is true. But anyways, yeah, no.
I mean, this part of the show usually exists in the quantum realm. And that's as far as I'm going to go with possible spoilers.
Hey, remember, as of Monday, the spoilers are free. Okay, anyways,
this
open
is true.
Cup.
So
open
here's cup. What happened in Endgame.
Yeah. You're going to lose it all. Okay, open cup. Importance. So there's definitely a lot of competing thoughts for this as far as, is it an important tournament? Should it be an important tournament? And of course, there's the perspective of the fan versus the perspective of the front office versus the player. And I mean, there's a lot of different viewpoints for this. I am fully in the camp of this is like the most important thing you could ever do. Now, I will say this. There's a reason for that. I also believe the CONCACAF Champions League tournament is the most important tournament that you should be trying to qualify for. And as a lower division soccer club, the literal only way that we have a chance of getting into that tournament is an Open Cup win, which, of course, is almost near fantasy because, like, nobody's done it in, like, 20 years. But
since, like Rochester, probably.
Yeah. I still think that is one of the most important things you could do because that, I mean, ultimately, the Champions League should be the goal. I mean, U.S. Open, USL Cups are good. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, everybody wants a good regular season, but, like, that isn't necessarily the only cup that we're eligible for. It's also not the most prestigious by definition, technically. I mean, I'm fully on it. But from a front office point of view, they're going to say, well, money. And it's expensive to go that far in the Open Cup. And
right.
It's hard to go that far, especially on the finances of a lower division club. Because unfortunately, for some unearthly reason, people don't show up for these games. Which I'm going to give full props and a full shout out to our ownership and our management. Because thank you for making the Tuesday night game a free game.
Uh-huh.
That is an unbelievable gesture.
Which,
something
I mean,
you don't see that very often.
I mean, we've done that at least the last 2 years.
We did it against, I think it was the Jacksonville U23s when
yeah,
they came a
I
couple
think
years
the,
ago.
I think we did it the year before also.
Did we host a year? I don't know about
it
that.
I feel like we've had at least 2 years of free Open Cup games.
I'd have to look. Oh, wow. You're really testing my knowledge on this because I'm forgetting this.
Because the year we ended up going out to Columbus, you went to that game.
I was in Columbus, yeah. That was a heartbreaking.
That wasn't the year we played Jacksonville U23s at home, was it?
Actually, I thought it was.
Was it?
I thought so.
I might just be making things up in my mind. It feels to me like we've had two of those. But, I mean, I've seen other teams this week tweeting, you know, buy a ticket for this weekend's game, get a free Open Cup. So they're still tying
deals,
a sale to it.
Yeah, there's still deals going
to
on.
To just say, hey,
not,
come out and have fun.
The big thing is that it's not common to just see and open the doors.
Oh, not at all.
And I think that's the thing that's amazing to me is that we had the audacity to go ahead and do it again. That
right.
We're like, because again, you got a new ownership group involved, so you're not sure
what
if they're
going to
be okay with it. So now here's the big thing. If you're a Rowdies fan listening to this show, which means you're probably one of the most passionate people in the fan base if you're listening to this show live after the victory, or if you're listening on the rerun on the podcast itself, please, 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 please go to next week's game.
Yes.
Please, please, please invite friends and make sure you spread the word. We want to make sure that building has as many people as we can get in it. I mean, honestly, it's a chance for people to sit in seats they don't normally get to sit in.
Right, because what they're opening up, they're opening the entire, like, you're
the whole
midfield's
open.
It's not just free wherever in the stadium. If
you have a ticket for the midfield already, like say your season tickets are
right, and you want to have your
seat. You can have your seat reserved if you want to. You just have to call the front office. But everybody else can just go in and sit where they want in midfield. That place should, the midfield sections especially, should be full. Like, I'm going to be very audacious in that, where I believe that we should have those sections filled.
Okay.
The mob and the supporters, they're all going to be just like they were against the U23 Jacksonville game.
In like 111, 112
behind
the goal.
They're going to be in the section right behind the goal. There better be a ton of people there.
I'll be over there. That's my section.
And because here's the thing, right? This is going to reflect back on what does the Open Cup mean to you? What does Open Cup mean to an organization and things of that nature? For me, this is the most important thing we play all year. Like, I have always put the Open Cup above the regular season for lower division soccer. That's why I made the crazy trip to Portland, Oregon. That's why I made the crazy trip to Columbus, Ohio. You know, this is why I do it. This is why I went to Pittsburgh. I flew to Pittsburgh.
Oh, let's not talk about that game.
I'm just saying, I saw it live. I was there.
We tried doing a live commentary from the Rowdy's Den that night. And
I know.
Number one, it was awful. And so were we. And I think our internet connection crapped out about halfway through. Yeah. So,
but no, I mean, for me, like I said, I've always taken this seriously. I mean, I went to a Jacksonville United, the Jacksonville United game, I think it was in 2011 or 12, something like that, when we played them when they were still in NPSL before the Armada was even like a twinkling in anybody's eye.
Right.
Like, there was about 30 of us that drove out to watch that game for an Open Cup match. Like that's how important it is to me. Like, I'm insane. I unfortunately had to miss last year's, but to me, that's the number one thing you play in during the year. And I know that I'm in a minority of that. Because from a coaching perspective, and from a player perspective to a point, but I think from a coaching perspective, you don't want to put all your eggs in a basket for a mid-season tournament, because if you end up losing that tournament, like, say, in July, what does that do for the morale of your team for the rest of the regular season going into the playoffs? Because you still want to do good for the rest of the regular season, but if you put all your eggs in one basket and the things, we've seen teams do that.
Yeah.
Put all their eggs in one basket and then blow the regular season. I mean, it was funny because that was the infamous thing that DC United did several years ago with MLS. Of course, there's a lot more money involved for winning Open Cup on their end.
Right. I mean, that's basically what Cincinnati was doing a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Because they started off on a good run, and then they put their focus on that, it felt like. And then,
you know what? But here's the thing, right? And this is the other interesting part about the perspective of the Open Cup. Teams that want to do good actually try to do good.
Right.
And if you go in to win games, especially when you're playing, like, say, next week when we go up against Villages, and you're going to see this all across the next two rounds as professional teams play the amateurs and the semi-pros. If you want to beat them, you're going to put a team out there that's capable of beating them.
And looking at our schedule, we're off from now until the Open Cup game, and then we're off from that game until Saturday. There's no reason why we shouldn't put out
a really strong starting 11.
Team. Yeah,
yeah. There's no reason to flip the whole lineup, because again, when you look at it, Major League Soccer teams lose to semi-pro teams if they decide to take it lightly.
Yeah, yeah.
If we walk out on that field and there's like two starters, I'm going to go, oh my gosh, we're going to die.
When they're pulling me out of the stands to play center back, then we know we're in trouble.
Because ultimately, that's what happens in this tournament. Depth lineups are not good enough to beat starting semi-pro teams in this country, and because you see it every single year.
Right.
The teams that try to pull that kind of garbage and end up getting slapped in the face for it, and end up looking themselves like an embarrassment. If you want to go far, you have to take it seriously. And the question is, how seriously do you end up taking it, you know, overall?
All right, so I was already planning on bringing this up this week, and I kind of hinted at it last week, and then I saw a tweet from, I think it was earlier today, may have been yesterday, from our buddy Guillermo, who doesn't know that I'm going to bring his tweets into the show. But
this is what you get, Guillermo. This is revenge.
He said,
revenge on you.
Do you know the tweet I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay. Basically, he said a nice run, at least to the fifth round, and knocking off Orlando City, we could lose the rest of the USL games and miss the playoffs, and he'd still call it a successful season. Are you going to go that far?
I'm not going that far, but, oh, that is... nothing would bring me more joy than getting another chance to play that team.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Which I think will happen if we get out of the third round.
I do too.
Yeah, I think that's the way it's been set up.
Nothing on this planet Earth would bring me more joy than to get another chance to play that team, because we absolutely need... I mean, officially speaking, we've played one game against them.
Mm-hmm.
We've played five friendlies and one real game.
Friendlies? Yeah, with the air quotes over here.
They were friendlies. But what's funny about that is that one official match was a year that we were garbage that year.
Right.
And so, like, when they came in and they steamrolled us at Seminole Sports Complex, it was not that surprising of a result.
No.
We're all looking around like, this was expected. We don't.
That's what
it
we
is. What it is.
Yeah.
I would love to even the official record.
Okay.
I would absolutely. And I don't care if it's home or away. I don't care if we have to go to Orlando. I hope, like, 200 people show up and we absolutely own that park. Because when we played the Orlando City B games, this was the hilarious part when we played Orlando City B, is
we had more fans than them.
Supporters, at least, yeah. The funny part is that their traveling contingent for our home opener was almost as many people as they had Orlando fans total in their stadium for the two home games.
Yeah.
Like, more people showed up to Al Lang. And so when we beat them 1-0, you could just see the air completely out of that balloon.
Because they wanted to come have a fun day out.
They thought they were just going to steamroll us, make a joke about the fact that, oh, the B team beats the Rowdies too. And then we beat them. Granted, it wasn't great scores, only 1-0 off a Ristoff PK, if memory serves. But
keep in mind,
victory.
They did send over a lot of not starters for the MLS team, but guys who make the bench.
Several
and
MLS
guys,
players.
Yeah.
But the fact is that their supporters came out in large number expecting a celebration. And it was the greatest thing on earth to watch them walk out disappointed.
And they wouldn't come when we played there because they knew they were going to lose.
And that was the funniest part.
Yeah.
After we beat them and after the season, because, again, we played them two more times in Orlando City Stadium, and I had a chance to go to both of those games.
Remember, well, I was at the first one, but I was in the press.
Ended in a tie.
I was in the press box for that one.
Yep. And there was virtually nobody there.
No.
And then the second
nobody.
Game, there was nobody there either. And it was hilarious because on the second game, I think we had more people travel than the first.
I was actually at the Hard Rock that night. I went to a conference up at USF that night and cashed in my free hotel room for the night and watched the game from in there. It was fantastic.
Ending of that game was magnificent, by the way.
So here's where I am with the Open Cup.
Okay.
I like the Cup. Anytime that we have a game and we're on the field, I want to win the game. But you mentioned, like, the Open Cup, it's been around a whole hell of a lot longer than the USL Cup. Mm-hmm. It's got more history. It should have more prestige. Whether or not it does, I think, is something that might be argued. It's the ticket into the CONCACAF Champions League. But at the same time, I also, USL should be, I think the USL Cup should be at that level. I think that should be a way to, even if it's like a qualifying stage. So to me, like, as long as we're in it, sure, I want to win. But if you told me tonight, you know, after this 1-0 result that we'd go on and win the USL Cup but go out in, like, the fourth or fifth round of the Open Cup, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to go. I mean, again, it's the Open Cup. You're not going to go in going like, we're going to win the whole thing. No, you realistically, you go in to play maybe one MLS team, and if you get a victory,
like last
that's
year
exciting.
when we go out with, you know, without even putting up a fight to the Armada U23s, to me that's embarrassing, and that's a bad thing.
Yeah, that was awful. I'll say this: we definitely need. I really think that we should at least try to play, get to an MLS game and try and win at least one.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing, too. This is
getting to that point every year in the Open Cup should be, in my mind, is like the minimum
we should do. You let off an interesting point where it was, you know, the publicity surrounding the tournament and what's more important and how do you determine that. Here's something that I was looking at. The first round of the USL playoffs, how much publicity are you getting for that game in local media? Probably not a lot.
Probably not. But, you know.
But if you're playing an MLS team, any MLS team.
Now, kind of also on that note.
Especially at home.
Let me jump in. On that note.
You remember when we played Seattle and how many local news people were talking about that? I mean.
Right.
The afternoon radio shows were talking about that game. There was articles printed. We beat them. And, of course, it was splashed in color photos all over the papers. And that was a huge deal. You don't get that unless you get to, like, the championship game in second division. The local media does not treat local playoffs as importantly as the Open Cup.
No. But
to me, that's the thing. It's from a publicity standpoint, it's more important to do better in the Open Cup.
I mean, now maybe in most markets. I've noticed this year, and I can't think of previous years where I've seen local media even breathe the name Open Cup, except for the year that we played Seattle and beat them and you know, won that game at Al Lang. But I have seen a ton of not just, hey, the Open Cup is next week, but also promoting the, you know, hey, it's free, come on in, get out there, enjoy it.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of it has to do with new ownership. I think there's a...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. There's
a, local media is a little more friendly towards new ownership maybe than previous ownership.
And you know what? It's funny, though, because what's been my argument about the local sports media market for the Rowdies since they started, and it was, look, you go back and you look at the Lightning... started 25 years ago. Did when that team was first announced, not every single sports head in the area thought that that was a great idea. And they weren't knowledgeable about the sport. And it's taken about 25 years to get this area really up to speed and make it a major market when it comes to hockey.
Right.
Here's the thing about that. It's because everybody gave it a chance and everybody took it professionally. All I'm asking for as far as the soccer thing is concerned is just treat it professionally.
Right.
And that's the thing, what it's interesting about having the Rays involved now with the Rowdies is that they're going to be able to have the pressure and the weight to talk to the local media guys and go, hey, you need to talk about this. You need to take this seriously. Because it's just a sport. There's nothing, I mean, obviously, we're all soccer fans here. Like, it's just a sport to us. Like, it's just... It's like watching a football game on a Sunday.
Yep.
You know, it's
there's a game on. This,
this
is what we're doing.
This is our thing. This just happens to be the sport that we watch. We're just waiting for the local media to kind of catch up, and I think that's the thing that I love the most about having the Rays involved is that you're starting to see that more often because people are talking about it more often.
And honestly, an Open Cup run where maybe some of these teams, and that's be interesting to see. You know, how many games are we going to put our names in to host if we advance?
All of them. All of them.
Please, yes.
All of them.
That could be maybe the hook that brings some of the media and some of the attention in.
Yep.
I'm hoping. I'm going to actually, let me see if I can get them over here. We just have, notice our friends from Sarasota Metropolis just dropped by. They won their first game tonight, 1-0 over at Robert Taylor Complex.
Yep.
I'm going to see if I can grab his attention and get him on over here. He's making his way down. We're gonna get Ken on here to talk about the team and the result tonight for a little bit. Yeah. Oh, come on. Neither do we. It's all right. All right, Ken. I heard the game went well tonight. First of all, introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about the club and tell us about what happened tonight. Right about it.
All right. Ken Jokic with Metropolis Blue Dragons, USL League 2 team right here in Sarasota, Florida. Tonight was our inaugural match against Weston FC. They came up. They played tough. I mean, it was 0-0 all the way 89 minutes. So in the last minute, our boy Alex went through and just put one in there. Hometown boy right from Bradenton.
Nice.
Yeah. So we were just entire stands, like 200-plus people just went crazy. We were just blessed, you know, blessed tonight.
Yeah, we had a crew come in for like second half of the Rowdies game and looking excited. So you call tonight a success on and off the field?
Yeah, I'm not easily impressed. So on the field, absolutely.
You walked in here looking fired up.
Yeah, as
soon as you came in.
Home to Sarasota, baby. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Nice.
This is for the community, man. This is for our entire Bradenton, Sarasota, Palmetto, Manatee, Sarasota. Like, that's what the Blue Dragons are about. It's for the community.
Nice. When's the next game?
Home game is May 20th.
Okay.
It'll be at IMG. We're playing Daytona FC. With that, our next game is the 15th, a week from today, and we're actually playing Weston again, which is strange, but we're going down to Broward County.
Okay.
And playing Weston down there.
When do you guys know off the top of your head when you go to Daytona?
Off the top of my head, no. That's a bad thing, so we'll edit that.
I'm worried. I end up there like once a month, it seems like, for some of my daughter's competition. So something that I could actually get out of a middle school gym to do would be a nice diversion for me. So I'll try and keep up with that.
Oh yeah, keep in touch. We're trying to set up some road pass, like VIP. We have a big 58-seat tour bus, you know, and so a couple of VIP.
Oh, we can work something out.
Yeah, you know, get to ride there with the jerseys and have a great time.
If people are interested in coming down and watching you guys play, how do they find you? How do they get tickets?
So we do everything online. We're trying to be paper-free, but if you bring cash, we'll take that. But you can go to SarasotaMetropolisFC.com. You can go to Eventbrite. You can also go online, Facebook and or Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. It's all Sarasota Metropolis FC.
All right, man. Well, congratulations. Thanks for hopping on.
Dude, thank you guys so much.
Hopefully next time it won't be during a Rowdies game so we can come out. Like, I really wanted to be there tonight, but it was like I got to kind of watch the game so I can talk about it. So
yeah, the rest of our home games are all played at IMG Academy.
Okay.
So we're very honored that they welcomed us there. So if y'all want to see a state-of-the-art facility and watch some really competitive football now, here.
Are you guys playing in the big stadium or in the stadium, the, like the one back behind there?
I'm gonna say the big stadium. They're all big to me. size
doesn't matter, huh?
I mean, it's a variable.
We've been saying that a lot tonight about different things, mostly for Steven though.
Even though, hey, we won our inaugural game 1-0 tonight. Even though size don't matter, all we need is that one.
Hey, wins one goal equals 3 points as much as two or three goals does, right?
Amen.
The Rowdies know that very well, too, apparently.
I love the Rowdies, man. They gave us our first friendly. I'm a Rowdy, you know, all the way through. So they were my actual introduction into professional soccer just as a fan. So to be living here in Southwest Florida, I mean, we are in paradise. And to have the Rowdies up the road like a big brother to us, you know, absolutely love the Rowdies.
So next Tuesday, they've got Open Cup against Villages, one of the teams you guys are going to face off against. You going to come up do some scouting?
Oh, all day. Are we party busing it?
We'll figure something out.
All right.
Hey, Derek's over there from the Shamrock. We can hit him up and see what we can talk him into.
Throw a keg right in the back.
I like the way you think. Just get him to pick me up right from school, or I'm right by the interstate. Just I'll wait out there for you guys and meet me there.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Ken. Good seeing you. Good talking to you.
Thanks.
Nice job. All right. Steven, real quick before we I had that stuff about the Academy Cup in there. Do we want to mess with that now? We're already past 11. Do we want to just save that for next week maybe?
Yeah, because honestly, I haven't done a whole lot of research on the Academy Cup
situation,
so I'd have to do a little bit of digging to see what some of the details is of that. But I don't know. The Academy stuff in this country is so bizarre that I have to do a lot of research.
I just want to know the meaning behind the phrase, due to extenuating circumstances, Colorado Switchbacks will play in the Eastern Conference.
I
need to know more about this. Like, what... is there like a?
Now how did that team?
Is there an injunction? Are they not allowed to play in Colorado Springs for some reason?
Is there a state law that's preventing them from doing stuff in like California?
Wait, maybe it's because of the legalized recreational consumables out there.
I would love to know what the extenuating circumstances.
Extenuating circumstances.
I absolutely am on board with that. That's worth it. I will say this. As far as USL, I'm wondering if because of everything going on with MLS and their academies and trying to make a kind of a closed system when it comes to player fees and training compensations. And I mean, again, if you've been following the legal aspect of what's going on in the youth world.
Now that there's some money to be made.
Exactly. And I'm wondering if USL is trying to put themselves into a position where they can do something similar to what MLS is angling for.
But can they without being single entity?
Well, USL is single entity.
USL doesn't own the clubs, though.
They're franchises.
But it's not
you
like...
You purchase a franchise to operate a club USL.
But compare who owns the intellectual property in USL as opposed to MLS.
I mean, they're different structures, I guess. I mean...
Yeah. And the clubs operate independently, unlike...
Well, yeah, but even that's not 100% true. I don't know.
They're a lot more independent than MLS. This came up, and yeah, we talked to Jake Edwards, I think, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And he said the only tie between the league and the clubs is that they license the logos to use on TV broadcasts. According to him, now...
Well, I mean,
whether that's 100% true or not, or just sounds good with a British accent.
He knows who he's talking to,
yeah.
So he's not gonna ruffle any feathers with us.
Wait, did we just talk bad about ourselves?
Well, we are the unused substitutes, I'm pointing out, for a reason.
Well, look, if Jake was that great of a player, he'd still be playing and not running a league. So let's just put that out there, too. It sounds like we're ripping on. He's a really nice guy, it seems like.
Are you trying to make sure this podcast is banned from, like, anything involving this league at all? Is that what's going on now?
We're going to be the outlawed substitutes.
Oh, see, now there you go. See, now that's your transition from Hawkeye to Ronin right there.
Oh.
See, there it is. That's the angle we can take.
Do we have to get Mohawks? I would try to rock that hairstyle. I'm not saying I can pull it off, but I would certainly try.
Whatever it takes.
Oh. Wow. I love that 3,000. All right, let's wrap this up here. We'll be back next Wednesday night talking about hopefully a victory in the Open Cup, previewing next weekend's game, and whatever random endgame adjacent spoilers we can put out there.
Exactly. Steve? I think we're just going to continue doing that as many times as we can because it's just going to be worth it.
Reasons.
Also, we may or may not try something on Facebook Live
after the
game. There's a chance we're thinking about doing a flash thoughts type of Facebook Live broadcast after the game, basically. Maybe just, like in the parking lot or something.
I'm still just kind of worried because people who listen on a regular basis, I already worry about them. But anyone that actually wants to see what I look like is...
It's a thought. We were talking about this about a week or two ago and maybe. So keep an eye out on that because we'll see if we do ultimately decide to go that route. We'll obviously make sure people are aware of it.
Yeah, we'll talk about it a little bit in advance. We'll figure something out.
So just something we're kind of kicking around about maybe just expanding the platform a little bit, seeing what other options are available.
We might have to play around, do a little, like, couple test ones first. But we'll figure it out as we go.
Yeah.
As we always do.
Exactly.
All right. So are we loveyous for this week?
I'm going with the three gentlemen that went to Nashville.
You're
welcome.
Ian and Steven and Taylor from the Skyway Casuals headed up. We're at the game tonight.
The Rowdies got some pictures with them, shaking hands with the guys after the game, which, by the way, also thank you to the Rowdies players for going up to them and making sure that they made a point of doing that.
Right.
Because that's the number one reason why you travel is to get to interact with the players after the game when you're hundreds of miles away from home.
Mm-hmm.
That's the like main reason that you go and do that is to show, hey, we love you so much that we're traveling all the way up here.
Remember the last road trip we made to Fort Lauderdale?
I remember every road trip we made to Fort
Lauderdale. I made one before to Lockhart. Lockhart.
Rest in peace, Lockhart. That's so sad. Oh, I'm so heartbroken over that.
Go to hell, Beckham.
Always the correct answer.
So we made that trip, and that's one of the, like, I don't usually get to go, like, just as a fan, but got to do it for that game. Got a ton of pictures. Players came over. Joe Cole, Juan Guerra, Tommy Heineman, a lot of these guys. Like, that was, it was definitely the highlight, even though that was the night Georgia got a hat trick. That was definitely part of it. So we love you to those guys. Thank you to Wolfface for the theme music, to Radio St. Pete for the platform, to Shamrock for letting us hang out the last few weeks and doing this. Oh, did they just tie it up? 1-1 in the El Derby de los Unsubs.
Yeah, Tijuana got one back.
So is that what that finger is indicating? It's tied at one now?
The anger, yes. Anger is flowing.
Thank you to you guys for continuing to listen and make time in your either nighttime schedule for listening to this live or listen to the podcast. Please continue to share, subscribe, rate, and review wherever you hear this at. It helps put us out in front of other people who may want to listen to this as well for whatever reason. If you'd like to support the show in an ongoing basis, you can head over to patreon.com/unusedsubspod. We've got to rework some of the stuff. I keep saying this every week. As soon as school lets out, I swear it's easy to get done.
Yeah, you're
in
the middle of state. You're in the middle of state testing now. I'm giving you a pretty good pass.
Different levels, different perks, all that kind of stuff. Thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier of MLS, USL, and U.S. Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. Steven, thank you for coming down here and talking to me tonight.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you again for inviting me onto the show. I think we're getting into a little groove here.
Yeah, and next week we'll remember to actually connect to the server so we can broadcast on time. At least by not connecting the first time when I played the wrong song at the beginning, no one caught that.
You know, that thought crossed my mind. But yeah, I'm glad the repeating of the first like 8 minutes went pretty well.
Yeah, not too bad. All right, we will talk to you guys next Wednesday night, possibly next Tuesday night on Facebook Live or Twitter or Periscope or something like that. But we'll be back on Radio St. Pete next Wednesday night at our regular time at 8 o'clock. We'll talk to you guys then. Thank you guys, as always. See ya. The Radio was here, the Radio was there, they get along.